Let's give glory to God. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you are so good, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know. Three guitars is kind of a lot, but you know what they say about guitars is you always need another one. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, worship team. I know the practice that you put in and all the bumps and things that we go through. It's worth it for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I don't know, maybe Brother Tony, maybe you can talk to me about this afterwards or something, but I didn't know people gave people a hard time about being Browns fans. Maybe I'll start doing it. I don't know. Praise God. Hey, if you can't have fun in the house of the Lord, you're in the wrong place. Amen. We have fun. We worship the Lord. We praise the Lord. We smile. We clap our hands. We lift our voices to God. And God comes and inhabits all of it. All of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read one verse of scripture here today. And that's in John chapter 4, verse 10. If you would turn with me there. John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to preach to you today this message, if you only knew, if you only knew, if you only knew. John chapter 4 verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. If only you knew. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, have your hand on us today. God, you've already confirmed your word over and over again this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, to bless it, Lord, to the nourishment of our souls, Lord God. Have your way in everything that we do, Lord Jesus. Everything I say, Lord God, let it be of your word and of the truth, Lord God. And Lord, have it touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Praise God. Sister Tammy Davenport, it is so good to see you. Praise the Lord. Your family has always been a breath of fresh air to us. And pray for them. I know Brother Tim is in Japan serving our country. And if anything can be said about the service in the military, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. A family is sacrificing a dad and giving them to the service of our nation for the protection of our country and our families. And so I just wanted to say that this morning is we appreciate you. We're praying for you. We're praying for your family. And I know God's going to use you guys anywhere you go. Praise the Lord. So last week, and I'm starting to get in a routine with work. And so last week, I get to the building there about 6:45, and I have a long walk into work. It's like a quarter mile or maybe even a half mile. I'm sorry, judging distance isn't my best. But last week when I arrived, I think it was last Tuesday, I did my normal routine, park my truck, get out, walk the long walk into the building, get down to where my building is, and I'm walking up to the elevator, and I notice there's a lady there, and she's got her phone, and she's just standing, she's staring at it intensely and doing this. And then there's another gentleman that's walking. He's kind of pacing in circles. He's, you know, doing this whole thing, waiting for the elevator, right? So we're standing there for about 2 minutes, and finally the guy walks over and he notices something. Nobody pressed the button. So he pressed the button, and then he looked at me and he looked at the lady on the phone, and she was so distracted that she forgot to even press the button. And we're all waiting there expecting the elevator to come. If only I knew when I was walking up, I would have pushed the button first. April 1st, 1976, three men signed a partnership to start a company, a little company. You may recognize the name. It's called Apple. Two of those names you probably know, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. Steve Jobs was the brilliant business mind. Steve Wozniak was the engineer. But there was a third name as well, and it was Ronald Wayne. Anybody heard of Ronald Wayne? Neither did I. But he was the older one of the three, and he was brought in to be the adult in the room. And they gave him 10% of the company. Well, 12 days later, he got nervous. I'd be nervous around Steve Jobs too. But he had a house, he had a car, he had a family. He had something to lose. And those two boys had nothing. So he sold his 10% back for $800. Brother Tristan could probably do the quick math on that. But 10% of Apple is in the multi-billions of dollars. 10% signed away in under 2 weeks. If only he knew the future value of this company. Sunday morning, December 7th, somebody recognize the date, December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. Two army privates are up on the north shore of Oahu, Hawaii, at a place called Opana Point. I've been there. Running a radar set, the army had barely finished training them on. And their watch ended at 7 a.m. So they had left the radar system running a few extra minutes. And 2 minutes past seven, the screen lit up with the largest formation either one of them had ever seen. And it was 130 miles out and closing fast. They called it in, of course. The lieutenant on duty, however, had actually just started the post. And he had almost no training. And he was working with a skeleton crew on that quiet Sunday morning. He figured it was the flight of B-17s that were due from the mainland any day now. Four words came back from him. Don't worry about it. Nobody woke up the superior officer. Nobody escalated it up the chain of command. So they shut down the radar set and went to breakfast. And less than an hour later, the first bombs fell on Pearl Harbor. If only they knew the danger that was approaching. Jesus, we read that statement. He didn't just make that statement once, but one day Jesus came over the ridge of the hill and he saw the whole city of Jerusalem in front of him. The temple, the walls, the smoke going up from the morning sacrifice. And of all things the Lord could have done, when he saw it, he wept. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42, and Jesus, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. See, he wasn't weeping over their poverty. They had a temple. They had great things. He wasn't weeping over the economic conditions or anything like that. He wept because he was everything that belonged to their peace. The glory of all Israel was standing on that hill, looking down at them, and they did not know him. John said it like this: he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. So Jesus said, if thou hadst known, if only you knew. Jesus said it twice, once over that city that didn't recognize him as God manifest in the flesh. And once more, he said it to a lost soul, a woman who was thirsty for far too long, who was searching for refreshing in all the wrong places. She also did not know who he was. But when she got a revelation, there was hope for her in really knowing him. If you only knew. And what she needed that day is exactly what every single soul needs in this place. Paul put it in one verse, Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Hallelujah. It's the gift by grace. Amen. And what is the gift by grace? Well, it's the Lord himself. Hallelujah. The gift by grace, it's by one man, Jesus Christ. Not a system, not a scale, not a way, not an empty water pot, but a man unlike any that has ever lived. The man we call Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. See, when you get the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're getting the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the one who came and brought grace and truth to us. And you cannot get the gift by grace without getting the one who gives it. Hallelujah. This message today is about the grace of God. It's about grace beyond measure. It's about how grace was delivered to us. Amen. In a manger. Amen. The man Christ Jesus, who is the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Here's what you have to know about every soul that has ever lived. Left to himself, man cannot imagine a God who simply gives himself without requiring anything in return. When it comes to dealing with sin, every religion besides Christianity builds a ledger, a scale, a balance sheet, a running account. If you do good enough, you're in. But if you come up short even a little bit, you're out. In Eastern religions like Hinduism and Buddhism, they call it karma. Anybody ever heard the word karma? It's become popular these days to talk about karma. Karma, my friend, is not how it works. But karma, as they put it, is a debt of your deeds that follows you out of one life and into another. And the next. The way that works is that you can never pay it down. Because how many in here will be honest and say, I've made way more mistakes than I have done good? Anybody? Are you willing to tell the truth to yourself today? People say, well, I'm such a good person. That's a lie. Because you can do one good thing and one bad thing and one good thing and one bad thing, and you're living a cycle that's impossible to escape. In Islam, there's a concept, and they imagine this great scale, great cosmic scale. And each of your deeds is weighed on that balance. Good on one side and bad on the other side. And you spend your entire life hoping that the good you've done outweighs the bad. That sounds like paranoia to me. And you die not knowing which way it tipped. There's a lie that's told that the only way to ensure the outcome in your favor is to die the death of a martyr. And many young men who are in their early teens and their 20s end up buying that lie, hook, line, and sinker, and going and becoming jihadists. Because they're in the middle of alcoholism and lust and all kinds of crazy things going on in their life. And they think, oh, my only way out is to die the death of a martyr. And they're recruiting young people by the thousands to fight in a cause that is not of God. Look, there's different names for it, but it's the same machine. It's always a big balance sheet. There's always income and debt, and there's always a number you'll never reach, a goal that you can never achieve. And you don't even know. You don't even have to leave this building. Some people here today are keeping a running tab. You can be born again and still drag that balance sheet up to this altar every week. Still tallying up your prayer, the days that you fast, how much of the Bible you read, how many Bible studies you did, trying to outweigh the good from the bad. Like you're paying God back or something. That's wrong. That's not the right mind to have. We don't serve the Lord out of a debt. We serve the Lord with gladness. We serve the Lord, we with joy come into the house of God. Because it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Not God twisting our arm and demanding a payback of an account that we will never be able to do. You know, people act like God's going to run the numbers and he's going to decide how much of himself I've earned today. But nobody earns God. You receive him. He's a gift. If you don't receive him, you will not have him at all. That's the whole point of grace. Grace, what is it? We sing about it. My daughter, her middle name is Grace. I named her after I told her that's my favorite word in the Bible. Amen. But grace is not just a soft word for getting let off easy. And I got to tell you this. We'll get to what grace is. But first, you can't appreciate, truly appreciate grace without understanding justice and mercy. What is justice? Justice is giving people what they deserve. We talked about this in our Bible study on Friday. Giving people what they deserve. And everyone wants justice until it's required of them. Right? Everybody wants it. If somebody stole your bicycle, what did justice look like? Well, they give it back. They make it right. Maybe they give you a little bit extra for your pain and suffering and the blisters on your feet, right? But what does justice look like? Imagine that. It's the balance sheet being balanced. It's people getting what they deserve, right? Mercy is not giving people what they deserve. Not giving people what they deserve. We all deserve to pay for what we've done. And that we would call right. If I go eat at a place, I pay the tab. If I invite you to that place to eat with me, I pay the tab. That's what's right. You pay for what you owe. And that's good until we have to pay for the sins we committed. See, the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God that He took our sin to the cross to satisfy justice and satisfy His wrath and not pour it out on us. Thank God He did not give us what we deserved. And then we come to grace. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve. Grace is defined in the scripture as the unmerited favor of God. Specifically, it's God's own influence coming down into your heart and then showing up in the way that you live your life. God gives us His love. God gives us peace. God gives us these great things. He gives us His Spirit when we didn't deserve it. He changes us from the inside out. And you didn't earn it. You didn't pay one cent for it. It's a gift. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves." For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you, Jesus, that I couldn't pay. Amen. I couldn't pay for my own sins. And you had wrath and you had justice. But when the justice fell and the wrath fell, it fell on the cross and it didn't fall on me. And I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By grace through faith. Hallelujah. So nobody in heaven is going to stand up and say, "Look at what I built. Look at what I made. Look at how I accomplished this," or "look at how I accomplished that." If you're going to be in heaven, if you're going to be standing in the presence of God, it's going to be because of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look, a gift is not something you have to pay for. It's not a wage that you earn. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." There's no one here that the grace of God has not already worked in your life. There's no one here that can say, "Well, God's never been gracious to me." Wait a second. Take a nice deep breath right now. That's the grace of God. I'm sorry, I woke up on the right side of the ground today. That's the grace of God. He's been so gracious. But there's that second part. Verse 12 says, there's a reason for grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In other words, God doesn't give you grace for no reason. God doesn't give you grace so you can trample all over it. God doesn't give you grace so that you can waste it. God doesn't give you grace so you can go sin again. No. God gives you grace so you can live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And nobody's going to be able to say, well, God, you didn't show me. You didn't train me. You didn't lead me. Nobody's going to be able to say that. Because we have the Word. Grace. The Bible says that grace appeared. Not as a big cosmic scale. Not as a reoccurring system. Grace showed up as Emmanuel, God with us. Yes. And they called His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. But here He is sitting on a well. The Bible says He was wearied from His journey. And He's asking this Samaritan woman for a drink. Let's go back to Jacob's well in Samaria. Here she is in the heat of the day. And scholars have said that that was not the time to go and draw water. She did it so that she could avoid the shame, avoid the crowds, avoid people. And here she comes down the road carrying her empty water pot alone. The same way she had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times before. That was her system. And John chapter 4 verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that's midday. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. See, she came for water. She came to avoid the crowds. She came for all those reasons. That's it. She came to do what she always did, to draw water out of a well that had never once touched something deeper in her, a deeper satisfaction that she needed. She had no idea who Jesus was. She didn't know Him. She didn't recognize Him. She didn't know that this weary traveler sitting on the rim of the well was the one thing that she had been thirsty for her entire life. And everybody here knows that well. She came to work for her water, the way she worked for everything she ever got. And the Savior on the well was waiting for her and had come to give her what she could never earn through all that hard work. See, she came to draw water out of a well that could run dry. But He was the real source of living water. And He came to give it to her for free. He came out of His way to give it to her for free. She didn't know Him, but He knew her. He knew every line of that balance sheet, every line of that ledger before she ever spoke a word to Him. In verse 16 of John chapter 4 again, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. She was honest with Him. Five husbands. And the one that she had now was not even hers. He laid her entire account on the table. Every sin, every debt. And He offered her, in exchange, living water. No matter what her past looked like, He was willing to give. Because that's who was on the well. That's the God that is love. That's the God that is faithful. Amen. He wasn't just another messenger. He wasn't another prophet pointing to God, but he was God himself that put on flesh all the fullness of the Godhead. And there he is asking her for a drink. Now, hallelujah. Now, do you think he was asking for a drink because he was thirsty? Do you think that he was asking for a drink because he needed her to give him something in exchange? No. He was making her an offer. He was making her an offer. He said, come on and engage with me. Come on and talk to me. Come on and I will give you living water that will never run dry. Hallelujah. Here's what the gift cost him. It wasn't free for him. He gives it away for free, but it came to him at great cost. Amen. The greatest price that was ever paid. Amen. These companies are now going public for trillions of dollars. But there's a greater price that was paid by the Lord Jesus. Amen. Titus 2:14 says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem, that's to pay, redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He gave himself. He could not hand you that gift without dying for it, without paying for it. And he didn't pay it with money, but he paid it with his own precious blood. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us after the balance sheet was balanced. No. He didn't die for us, amen, while we still had it. He didn't die for us when we had it all together. Not at all. But while the books were still against us, while the ordinances were still condemning us, every line was red. He paid a debt he did not owe. And I owed a debt I could not pay. My Jesus came to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Because Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. See, the gift is free to us. It's free to you and I. But it was not free to him. It cost him everything. Watcher, she didn't come to Jesus all at once. Nobody comes to Jesus all at once. She started out wanting nothing to do with him. She said, thou being a Jew, ask a drink of me? And then she got practical. She pointed out, well, you don't even have a bucket to draw water from the well, and the well's deep. Then something started to change in her. Verse 19 says, and the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. A prophet now, right? First she had wanted nothing to do with him, didn't want to talk to him. But now she's interested. She's getting closer. But there's so much more. Because he's the one of whom the scripture spoke and whom the prophets proclaimed. He's the one, amen, that scripture reveals. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, that which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee, am he. See, she could have She could have told you all of her life that the Messiah was coming. She knew the stories. She knew the prophecies. But now she was standing there 3 feet from him, and she didn't even know it until he told her who he was. See, revelation comes by Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. But listen, knowing about Jesus and knowing him are not the same thing. Knowing him is where your life changes. If you only knew him. And John 4:28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Look at the transformation that happened in her life. Look at what she did. She first wanted to have nothing to do with anybody. She came to that well all by herself. But once she knew who Jesus was, once she got a revelation that he was the Christ, she dropped the old system. She dropped the water pot and she went running into the town. Amen. Calling every person that would hear her. Come see a man. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Hallelujah. Once she knew the satisfier of souls, the source of all life, the giver of the gift, and it made her leave the very thing that she came for, sitting in the dirt. Can you put up my slide, please? Amen. The water pot was her whole system. Her routine, her striving, the daily trip to draw what never would satisfy. She dropped it because when you found living water, you don't need an old cracked system. Nobody made her put it down. She found grace. She got a revelation. And once that got in and it came back out of her, running down the street towards the town. Amen. And somebody here today has a water pot. And you already know what it is. It's already in your mind. And you keep going back because some part of you still believes that this time it's going to satisfy. It never has. It never once helped you. And it never will. 100 trips equals 100 times home empty. And you'll go do it again this week unless something changes. You don't need more willpower. You need something that actually satisfies your soul. That sin that you can't turn loose of isn't stronger than the grace of God. It's just the only thing that you've ever had. Just wait till you get a taste of what he gives. It's pure love like you've never known. It's peace in the middle of a storm. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's what I'm preaching today. If you only knew the grace of God. Amen. You can't say that you saved yourself. But you can't say that you're saved without nothing to show for it. Grace that gets in the heart does not stay hidden. Amen. Paul told the Ephesians that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're not the worker. You're the work. What you do is not the price you pay to get in. It's the proof that he came in. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul put this in one verse, in a nutshell. The gift, the labor, and the credit. Paul put it all three in one sentence. The work was real, and the work was the Lord's. James says it like this, and so many people think that James contradicts Paul, but James does not contradict Paul. There's no contradiction in all of Scripture. The contradiction is how you understand. Yea, James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Show me. That means grace doesn't stay dormant or hidden inside of your life, but it is shown to others. The work of God is shown to others in your life. He's not going to force you. He's not going to manipulate you. You have to, by faith, let the Lord work His work in your life. See, what that looks like is it looks like wisdom that you have that you didn't used to have. It looks like a temper that used to run you, and it doesn't run you anymore. It looks like how you love people you used to walk right over. Even people that did you wrong, and you still love them. That's what grace looks like. It's not a bill you paid. It's a life that you could not have lived on your own. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But when you got the Holy Ghost, a transformation happened. And you got to walk in it. Amen. See, she left that water pot because she finally knew who could give her the water of life. So let's go back to where we started. Everything she needed was standing right there in front of her. And she almost missed it because her hands were full. She's holding this water pot. Go back to John 4:10. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If only you knew who was in this room right now today. He's here. You got to know the gift. You got to know the gift giver. Jesus is trying to reach you right now. Jump to verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, speaking of the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, the Holy Ghost is a well down on the inside of you that never can run dry. Amen. And Jesus told this to us himself in John 7:37. It was on that feast day, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Rivers of living water. Go to the next verse quickly. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, that comes living on the inside of you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And notice this, that he didn't promise you just a cup or a drop of water. He said rivers, rivers of living waters. Amen. And when he comes in, it will bring proof of something that is beyond measure. Something that can never ever fail. Something that can never be tested and break. When you get the Holy Ghost, it proves something to you. How many here have messed up in the last week? You don't have to raise your hand, but be honest. How many of you have messed up in the last week? But when you came into the church this morning, you felt the presence of God and you lifted up your hands and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. God wants to tell you something today. And it's in Romans 5:5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God," love never fails. Love can never be broken from God. Love will never run out. Amen. "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." God wants to tell somebody today, I know that you've messed up in the past, but if you'll just get the Holy Ghost and let God begin to speak through you today, amen, it will prove that He still loves you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us don't even know what true love is. Some of us have never felt the love of a father or the love of a mother. Some of us have never felt the love, amen, between even a relationship that was healthy. But you can have the love of God today. That's the gift that I'm talking about today. That's the gift that comes by grace. Amen. And that same Jesus who sat wearied on that well, He is not dead, but He went down into a borrowed tomb and He walked out of it, and He is alive right now. He lives. Amen. He lives today, and He is here today. He was waiting for us to come in this morning. So how is it that you get this drink? Amen. And I'm almost done here. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God to fill us with this living water. But I've got to cover this. If you haven't heard, you got to turn loose of the old ways. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to drop that old water pot. That's called repentance. It's letting go of the sin that you keep going back to that never satisfies you. And you've got to go down into the water in the name of Jesus, because it's the only name that saves. And that we are buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, and we rise to walk in the newness of life. And then you've got to let that gift come in. You've got to receive it. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to beg for it. Don't try. God's not gonna pay you. Amen. It's a gift. All the antics that people use to try to get the Holy Ghost, stop trying and yield to the Lord. Just praise Him. Just thank Him. Just worship Him. Amen. Peter said it at Pentecost, and it's right here. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But she heard it in one drink, one word, and that was drink. Drink from a well that will never run dry. Can you stand with me today? See, Jesus, He wept over that city that didn't know Him and never has had peace. But He's not weeping over you today. He's not weeping over you this morning. No, He's just waiting for you this morning. Like He waited for her that day sitting on the well. And listen, I know I've done it before, but you may have dragged a bunch of stuff up the road coming here this morning. And you might have had so much on your mind and on your heart this morning that you felt like you could barely fit through the door. Aren't you tired of carrying that old water pot? Aren't you tired of that burden? Aren't you tired of hauling it down the road to the same dry well and going home just as empty as you left? That sounds like insanity, and it is. That sounds like futility, and it is. And you've carried it long enough. When are you going to set it down and walk into the fullness of the grace of God? When are you going to put down that old way and pick up a drink that will never run dry? And listen, if you're thinking, well, I don't know if I trust Jesus enough. I don't know if I know Him enough yet. I don't know. Before the woman at the well called Him a prophet, before she called Him the Christ, before she ever told anybody, there was one thing that she said to Him first, and it made all the difference. That's what pivoted the conversation from her rejection to her accepting the revelation of God. And it's in John 4:15. Read this with me. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. That can be your prayer today. She didn't understand it all. She still thought that He meant the water in the well. But she asked. It never hurts to ask. What's it going to cost you to ask? She asked and He gave it to her anyway. You don't have to have it all figured out. That's the whole reason you ask a question. You just have to be thirsty enough to say, God, I'm thirsty. Somebody come today to this altar and say, God, I'm thirsty. God, give me a drink that will never run dry. Come on, if you only knew. You'd leave that old bucket and you'd come to the well that never runs dry. God, I need Your grace today. I need it, Lord, like I've never needed it before. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm thirsty today. Oh, I'm thirsty this morning, God. I'm thirsty this afternoon, Lord. God, I'm thirsty. Give me the drink, Lord. Give me the drink, Lord. Somebody ask Him, give me the drink, God. Give me the drink, Lord. Give me this water. I want to know it, God. I want to know it, God. Oh, I need the water that will never run dry. I need the water that will satisfy the thirst of my soul. Oh, I need the water of a fountain, Lord Jesus, of living water. Oh, come on, somebody, today, if you know that water, why don't you lift up your voice and begin to speak to God? Begin to let it pour out of you. Hallelujah. Wells of living water that will never run dry. wells of living water. Come on, if it's been a while since you spoke in tongues, don't you want to know that God loves you? Let Him proclaim that today to you. Hallelujah. Come on, if you've never spoken in tongues before, just lift your voice. Lift your head to the heavens and say, Lord, pour out this water upon me, God, today. Pour out the water today, God.